Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, and ready to spend. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Let's talk about how we can increase your foot traffic or get people to visit your website. Email us today and or message us on our socials so we can find the best packages for you. You can hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
3, 2, 1. Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Hey, yo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight. Murakami to the South Side. First round of the college playoff is over and done with. Thank goodness. And it's also time for Festivus for the rest of us. But we'll begin today's show with the showdown in Mile High. The Jags walked in and took it to the Broncos 34-20. Despite being sacked 5 times, Trevor Lawrence threw for 3 TDs and ran for another. If the Jags win out, they can take home the 1 seed in the AFC. Is it time? Is it time to believe in the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's time! It's time! It's Jaguar time!
What can you say?
Like,
it was the best game he's ever played.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Best game he's ever played. You know, like, this is the potential. Like, if you were a Trevor Lawrence supporter and you were like, his potential is through the roof. He's the guy from Central Casting. When you think about a quarterback, that's who you're getting, right? There's very few that have the measurables. There are very few that have the GQ look. There are very few that have the package, right? It's him. It's Justin Herbert. It's, you could throw Drake May in there, I suppose. Drake May had a good game.
Yeah, he's
well,
a big guy.
But yeah, so he's got the 6'5", 225, the whole freaking thing, right? But he hasn't really been delivering the goods, right? Like, he has the one playoff appearance where he totally dogged it away.
Right.
And then you gag one up. Like, you gag a season up. You gag a playoff berth up. Like, you question, right, whether or not Trevor Lawrence is the guy.
Right.
This is the moment where you're like, hey, he's faced adversity. And not only did he face adversity, he spit in its face and said, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you were looking for from Trevor Lawrence for years.
Yeah.
The skill has never been in doubt. Yeah. You don't come out of college with the level of hype that Trevor Lawrence came out of college with if you weren't talented. It's about putting it all together. He had Urban Meyer, right? Now he's at Liam Cohen. You had the wilderness in between.
Then what?
You had Doug Peterson for a little bit.
Right?
Yep. There was a whole thing with this idea of the package for Dabo. But finally, it looks like he's turning the corner. And not only is he turning the corner.
He only lost like 2 games in college, right?
Yeah.
I think it was like,
I think he lost maybe 1 in high school.
38-2, like, I think he was.
It's something absurd.
Yeah.
It's something absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
But this is it. Like, the defense plays. The running game is representative. You know, Etienne had a bad game on Sunday. He only rushed for 50 yards. Mm. But more often than not, Travis Etienne, like,
how much did this to be?
He's a solid back.
How much do we attribute this to Jakobi Meyers? That pickup and that signing and that extension.
Huge.
Right?
Huge.
Because this is a guy that kind of took the pressure off of Ryan Thomas.
Your favorite.
Yeah. Fucking guy.
So you figure, like, this is it. Like, if especially in a year, right? Lamar's out, most likely.
Yeah.
Burrow is out.
Pat.
Mahomes is out. Josh Allen is in the bottom half of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
This is your opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to Trevor Lawrence. Kudos to the Jaguars for making it happen.
Liam Cohen.
And, you know, we were enamored with the Broncos. We were enamored with that team. Like, that their defense is strong. It is stout. It got to him 5 times. They sacked him 5 times. It's not like the line protected him all that much. But they can be had. We've known they can be had. And Bo Nix didn't have a bad game either.
Mm.
But it wasn't strong enough. And that's an indicator that this is wide open. Mm-hmm. This AFC can be had. And I'm starting to think, like, stranger things are possible than the Jaguars. Why not? Why not?
The Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
No, I mean, it was... Listen, like, you said everything that I would say about it is that this is the guy we expected, right? This is who we thought was going to be coming out of college. And, you know, come on, Z, be honest with you. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he throws red zone picks, right? He doesn't
Completely.
He doesn't finish those drives. He doesn't run it in. He panics, right? Throws it away, throws a bad ball, maybe takes a sack, maybe he fumbles. But we're seeing a guy that has, like, confidence in what he's doing, right? I feel like he respects and understands the offense. Lord knows he has all the weapons around him. I mean, they're built to win the next 2 games. I believe they play the Colts and the Titans. They play the Colts and the Titans to finish the season.
That's winnable.
They're both winnable games. The only apprehension I would have is I don't know if he can go back into Denver and win again. You know, that's the only thing I would say is, like, could you do it again? You could do it once. Could you do it again? You know, could you do it again? If the Patriots come to the town, can you beat the Patriots? You know, just things, I don't know. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying I don't know. So I'm happy for him. I mean, this is what he was supposed to be. I mean, I really thought he was going to be the next coming of Joe Montana. I really believe that when he was coming out of college, and it's been mediocre, and you want to blame it on the situation. And then Doug Peterson gets there. It's like, man, Doug Peterson knows quarterbacks. He knows coaching. He just came from winning a Super Bowl, and then he doesn't play well for him. It's like, okay, Leon Cohen's coming in. They have Travis Etienne. I was like, all right. But no, I mean, you know, they've beat some solid teams. They're on a tear right now. You know, they're competing at a high level. I would say that they're going to win the next 2, right? I mean, that's no doubt about that.
Should be.
I'm not going to say that I believe in them, though, because I don't think they can go into Denver and do that again. Like, beat them by 2 touchdowns. I mean, and in this, maybe next time it's snowing or it's colder. I don't know if the Patriots came to Jacksonville, if they could beat the Patriots. And I don't know if they could beat the Texans. I don't know if, because the Texans, that'll be the 3rd time you play them. I don't know if you could beat the Texans. So I'm going to say that I still don't know. I think they took a nice step forward this year. I'm excited to see what next year brings. Could they go to the Super Bowl? Absolutely. Could they win the Super Bowl? 100%. But I don't believe it. You know, it's hard to believe that those things are attainable this year. But it's wide open this year, like you said.
It is absolutely wide open. And what's been the bugaboo for Jacksonville is that they're one-sided, right? When offense is good, defense isn't there. When defense is there, offense isn't there. This year, they seem to have put it all together under a rookie head coach. Yeah. They complement each other very well. And, you know, you mentioned Jacoby Myers. You mentioned the ambulance chaser. That adds a new level of dimension to this offense, because what did Jacoby Myers do? What is his specialty, right? He was not a wide receiver in college. What position did he play?
Quarterback.
Mm-hmm. So that opens up a whole level of Antoine Randall L, right, type plays, a whole level of gadgets and gadgets that Liam Cohen can possibly
this
unleash.
This is all without Travis Hunter. Yeah, I almost forgot he was even part of this fucking team.
Oh, how about that?
Forgot he was even part of this team.
And they lost Evan Engram to free agency. To whom? The Broncos. So you don't have the level of offensive tight end that you've had in the past. But they're making significant gains with the guys that they have. And they will be a force to be reckoned with. Like, they will be a significant out in the playoffs. And I think that this is a step in the right direction, because we were wondering, can they hang with the big boys, right? And now you leave that game wondering, can they do it again, number one? And number two, is Denver really a big boy? Like, they're a big boy on defense.
We just know what Denver is, right? They're not consistent. Yeah. They're not. I mean, Bo Nix, you can say he had a good game. I'd say it was one of his lesser performances. You know, they're playing without their starting running back. You know, Patrick Surtain is hurt. He's playing hurt. Like, you know, so there's a lot of things going on there, but I'm still sticking with Denver and I'm still sticking with the Rams. But Jacksonville, yes, they're formidable. They took steps in the right direction this year, and I'm curious to see how this thing plays out.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
But let's keep this one simple. The Seahawks and the Bears had the biggest wins of the weekend in the NFC. Which win was bigger?
Well, let's you said let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple, right? The
Bears beat the Packers. Seahawks beat the Rams. On
both
Thursday
of them
night.
Thursday Shootout. Night on Amazon Prime. Thanks to a weird 2-point conversion call that we still may have been used, that precedent may have been set on Thursday and then used again on Sunday in the Lions Steelers game at the end of that fucking dog shit show. But I gotta say, I'm looking at the Seahawks, right? I'm looking at the Rams. The NFC West is going to be at the top of the NFC. Like, one of their teams will be there. And the Niners also won on Monday night, beating Old Man Rivers and the Colts. So you have three teams still in contention for the top of the conference, all coming out of the same division, the NFC West. This is going to be attrition. And you and I, actually, everybody in the option, picked the Rams to beat the Seahawks. Why? Because they don't trust Sam Darnold.
Right.
When you get right down to it, it's, well, can Sam Darnold deliver the goods? And at the end of the day, like, two tutties, two picks, got sacked four times. You could say it's a mediocre performance for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But they did enough to win. They did enough against a team that they could stand toe-to-toe. And
division rival,
you know, they're going to duke it out for the division.
Very awkward 2-point try that was a success.
Yeah, that was just weird. That was completely weird. And, you know, like, it set the stage for what happened on Sunday with Detroit and Pittsburgh, because they almost had to implement that rule again. But when you look at the Bears and the Packers, you lose Love. You already were missing Parsons. That's a game the Bears have to win. Right, that's you lose the starting quarterback, you lose your key defensive end. You weren't in there to begin with. on paper, the Bears need to win that. Yes, they did win. They came back. They got to overtime. They did what they needed to do. But with what happened in the context of the game, the Bears should have won that fucking game. Absolutely, the Bears should have won that game. Based on what we saw in the head-to-head, the toe-to-toe, everybody being at their best, I gotta say the Seahawks had the better win. And I think the Seahawks are gonna ride this possibly to a first-round bye. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, they were both shit wins. I'll go first with the Packers and the Bears. First of all, the Packers lose Jordan Love in the second quarter. Yes. Malik Willis comes in and starts throwing dimes and running for first downs and is killing it. He leaves the field with the lead. Then what happens? Onside kick. Romeo Doubs drops the ball. Then the Bears come down and, you know, to their credit, they put in some players that don't normally run the play. And the Packers weren't ready for it. You got a guy that runs a corner route and goes, it's a blown coverage, touchdown. And then the rest is history. They get the ball back. They come downfield. He throws a bomb to DJ Moore. Touchdown, game over. You know, what I learned in that game is the Packers are nothing without Parsons. Nope. Because also Jacobs fumbles. Then he doesn't come back in. He doesn't get the ball. Malik Willis, God bless his heart, he fumbles the snap. They go forward on fourth down and he fumbles the snap. It gives the Packers the ball. I mean, gives the Bears the ball. I'm not changing my point of view on the Bears. I think they're shit. Like, Caleb Williams still missing guys running wide open. And he's playing against he's not going to play a good defense this weekend either. He's playing the 49ers, who I think are the bottom of the league in sacks. He's going to have time.
Yeah,
can't get pressure. And they're a good team. So, those two teams are trash. I don't think any of them are going anywhere this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears regress next year, because it reminds me a lot of the Chiefs last year. Like, they win these one score games, but are you really that good, or are you just lucky, man? Then flip to the other game. You've got, you know, the Seahawks and the Rams. The Rams missed the field goal. That opens the door for the Seahawks. And then why not go for it? Nothing to lose here. Why not go for the 2-point conversion? There's nothing to lose on this play. You know, because a tie helps us out. A win helps us out. Sure.
Yes.
We're going for two. They run a play to their third or fourth string tight end. I think the guy has maybe 3 or 4 catches all year. Nobody's looking for that shit.
No.
The only thing I'll say about that game is it's a Thursday night game, division rivals, short week. I could put all the eggs in that basket. Stafford actually had a really good game. Sam played well. He did his Sam thing, 2-2 on that. The Seahawks are who they are. But the problem I have with the Seahawks is, as good as that defense is, they gave up a lot of points, man. They gave up a lot of points. Puka Nacua went crazy. He won fantasy games all over the country. I think he had 174 yards and like 2 touchdowns. Like, hello, they're throwing him the ball. Kill him. No Davante Adams. And they were splitting between Blake Corum and Kieran Williams. So I don't really put a lot of, you know, stake into that victory, because, you know, if the Rams had a competent kicker, they wouldn't be that situation. So to me, both wins were shit. But if I had to pick one that was bigger, and could become into play is really the Bears win, because the Packers now might not even make the playoffs. I think the Rams are still going to make the playoffs, but the Packers might be cooked now because of that loss.
You have the Rams loss coupled with the Niners win. The Rams dropped all the way to sixth.
Yeah. At 11 and 4. Crazy, man.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at right now. They would draw the Eagles in the first round. We would have a rematch of last year.
We're in Philly.
Again, you know, like, can they hold them off for 18 seconds? Can they actually move the fucking ball for 18 seconds and get what they need? You know, we'll see. But that's huge. Yeah, yes, the Packers dropped the seventh, and the Packers would draw the Bears again in the first round. So there would be a divisional rematch. So,
and I'd have the Bears wiping it up with them again. Because the Packers can't get a pass rush.
Not without Micah Parsons. That's huge. And we said that as much, right? Like, how much can you... how much can you remedy Micah Parsons being gone in a week? You can't. You can't. Like, he is the engine. He is the pass rush. He is the guy that propels that front seven. So now you've got to figure it out. You absolutely have to figure it out. And there's still time. There's still a couple weeks. And...
two to be exact.
But, yeah, a couple, exactly. But, you know, the teams that are on the bubble, right? Because you have the Panthers, the Packers, the Lions,
Panthers,
and the Bucs.
Panthers, aren't they in the...
they are the division.
The division leader right now.
Clinched anything yet. They're the division leader.
Crazy.
But they haven't clinched
That's
anything.
That's crazy. They beat the Bucs. I think they swept
they
the Bucs.
They did beat the Bucs. They sure did. They absolutely sure did.
And we thought the Bucs were going to totally wipe the floor with the Panthers.
Yeah. So there's something
Baker.
There's absolutely something there. Like, Dave
Canales
is doing a great job.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's his old team. That's his old team. He's the OC there, Canales.
Maybe there's some familiarity. He understands the offensive tendencies, and he knows what they can do, which is why he does well against them defensively. And you know what? Bryce Young was fine. Dowdle didn't do all that much, but, like, they did enough. They absolutely did enough. And... you know, like, this could be the year for the Panthers to get in and win a game. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. Because you figure one of the Panthers or Bucs is going to win the division, and then you're left with the other three teams possibly vying for that seventh seed. So after what happened with the Steelers, like, the blooms are on the line. Like, they seem cooked.
Oh yeah,
they seem.
The Lions are,
they seem. The defense seems absolutely unable to get anything done, and the Pittsburgh Steelers held the Lions in the third quarter to exactly three offensive plays, one of which resulted in a safety. So there you go. There are the Lions in a nutshell right now. The defense is decimated. Tell me when that sounds familiar. The offensive line has been wrecked. The brain drain is real. Right, we were concerned about that when Ben Johnson left and when Aaron Glenn left. It's real. But, you know, Aaron Glenn might be back there at the end of the season. Who knows? But
that shit team.
Yeah, no. Like, I'm starting to... for a team that I had in the NFC Championship game, they look like a shell of themselves. They look like they don't know which end is up right now. And you know what? I think the Packers...
that door's closed,
I think the Lions' door is closed unless they get... they really get some offensive creativity in there, because it's just, it ain't there right now. But I think it holds serve in 2 weeks. I think we're going to have the teams that are in position right now are the teams that are going to remain in position. And then we're going to go from there. Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey protein powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K. But speaking of position, it's time to position. We're spinning forward to next Sunday, and the Toilet Bowl is officially set. The 2-13 Giants and the 2-13 Raiders are on a collision course, squaring off with each other essentially for the number one pick. So let's talk strategy. At this point, how much are you trying to win, and is the loss the real win?
No, I mean, I think all teams try to win. I mean, we like to joke about, you know, teams, you know, kind of throwing the towel in or not giving it all. But I do think all the teams try to win. I don't see the Giants or the Raiders looking to lose this game. You know, and to be honest with you, with Arch Manning going back and a couple of the other players going back, this year's draft isn't turning out to be the draft that we all thought it was going to be. You know, so really it's next year's draft that will become the quarterback draft or the player draft to be looking out for. So as far as, you know, winning and losing, I would say that the Raiders probably need the loss more, right? Because I would think that they're going to be in the market for a quarterback and they should be trying to get whoever they think the best quarterback is at one. The Giants, on the other hand, a loss for them, and you're thinking you're going to trade. You're going to become the Jets. You're going to trade that pick, and you're going to cash in 4 or 5 picks, right? You would think so. You think there's enough of a market for people to move up to one, or even move up to two, but you could really, you know, try to get your guy if you've got the, you know, the number one pick. So I think for the Raiders, I think losing would benefit both teams, but I think it benefits the Raiders more.
Well, if you think about it, really, like, which team believes they have their franchise quarterback, right?
The Giants think they do. I think they're wrong. I don't, you know, I've been watching this kid play his highlight reel in college, man, and he can't stay on the field. He can't stay on the field. He leads with his head, and
every time
he falls on his right arm a lot.
Every time.
I don't think he's going to last much longer unless he changes his approach to running out of the pocket.
Well, you figure, right? The Giants are going to be in the market for a head coach because Kafka ain't it, right? Dable wasn't it. With that comes a new philosophy. And with that new philosophy, you would think a new coaching, a new way of coaching Jackson Dart would come along. More emphasizes sliding, one that emphasizes not hitting with your fucking head, one that emphasizes not falling on your throwing arm. It would be nice. It would be absolutely nice. But the Giants do believe in Jackson Dart. Geno Smith has been abysmal this year. I believe he's entering his age 35 season, if he's not 35 already. Pete Carroll is kind of betwixt in between at this point because he's got some veterans on this team, but it's not moving the needle, right? But they're kind of in hell right now. The Raiders are kind of in hell right now, right? You don't really have a bright future, but you don't have a great present, and there's really too much for them. Right, they need
so much.
You would
assume they're going to fire Pete.
They might get more year if they draft Mendoza. I think they might, just to see if they can get something out of him. Because realistically, who are you hanging your hat on here? Brock Bowers and Max Crosby? That's it, right? Like, right. Besides Crosby and Bowers, like I really got nothing. So this would benefit the Raiders if they lost. Absolutely, they would. Kenny Pickett's not the answer. Geno Smith isn't the answer. If you want a top-line quarterback, you don't want a team to jump you, right? If you want to have control, you lose this game. You absolutely do. If you're the Raiders, like, you want to have control.
They're not coaching that, though.
You don't want to have
to have to deal with somebody else. The Giants, they're, if they win, cool. It's that culture win that we were talking about. It's that culture win that we dread. It's the culture win that we have been anticipating for a while. It hasn't come this year. We expected it with Jameis Winston, just like it happened with Tommy DeVito, just like it happened with Drew Lock. Has not come. So this would be the week they fuck themselves over. That's what you think. Like, this is, you're waiting for the shoe to drop. And so coming off how Jackson Dart played on Sunday, yeah, this game is destined for a tie, man.
So is this game going to be like one of those games like with the boxers where they both take a swing, they both hit each other, and they both fall down? They both get counted out?
So I'm thinking it's like, you remember the last man standing match from Mick Foley and The Rock when they hit each other with a chair? Yeah. And it was like a double count out, and fans were pissed, and it led to the halftime heat. That's what I envision here. I envision something like, clearly they're going to put points on the board. I don't know how many. I mean, Kenny Pickett does have a 31-0 to his name. So, and Jackson Dart has been abysmal. He can only, you know, muster 33 yards. Very low scoring. I can totally see a tie. The real winners and the real losers are going to be the fans simultaneously, because they will have sat through this garbage, but then their team may or may not have the number one overall pick.
I actually know someone who's flying to Vegas to go game.
Oh, God, yeah. Why? How's that Christmas weekend in Vegas?
I got tickets to the Jet game on Sunday. I don't even want to go to that.
Oh, God. Like, why?
I know.
Why do
I was in a contest. I lost.
Oh, I see. The loser got to get their tickets.
All right.
Molly B's offers unforgettable artisan crafted cookies. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies brings creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required. With bold, unforgettable flavors, they're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Enjoy an exclusive discount when you use my promo code DANDZ. And you could be using that at mollybz.com.
So moving on to college football, the first round of the college football playoffs is over and done. We have more chalk. We have mostly chalk. Tulane and James Madison got slapped. Miami got through Texas A&M in a low-scoring matchup. And Alabama took down Oklahoma by 10, despite being down by 2 touchdowns early. The January 1st bowl quarterfinals are set. Are you excited yet?
No, I'm not excited at all.
Are you interested?
Beyond the superficial interest of the fact that we were doing this for our job? Not particularly. Maybe things will get better in this round, because you're looking at teams that, like Tulane, okay, thanks for coming. James Madison, thanks for coming.
And they want to expand this shit.
Right. And the first team in is Notre Dame, who got butthurt. And in the butthurt bowl, right, Miami and Texas A&M, 10-3. Can I interest you in 10-3?
Solid.
Yeah. And, you know, Notre Dame looks good, right? They're like, okay, you didn't put us in. You put these idiots in, and I guarantee we would have put on a better show.
We got more viewers.
That's for sure. That is for damn sure. Spin it forward, Miami plays Ohio State. Do you think anybody has any sort of belief that Miami will knock off Ohio State? No, I don't.
Well, I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is it's the time off.
Yeah. It's true.
It's the time off. Miami just played a football game. Ohio State hasn't played in a month. A month. And it's not like Miami's a slouch. You know, they're a decent enough team. Can they go into Columbus and win?
I'm banking on no.
We haven't had a team with a bye win yet. Mm-hmm. So let's see if it happens this year.
Well,
and my guess is I don't think they will. I don't think so.
Well, let's go.
It's hard for a college player to get up after being out for a whole month and playing against a good team, right? It's not like you're playing a first round team. You're playing a good team. This team did just beat somebody, and they're a good team. They're not a great team. They're a good team.
In my estimation, Georgia and Ohio State, their talent level is so far above everybody else. Even Indiana, and Indiana's number one overall seed, undefeated, right? Georgia and Ohio State, right? How many NFL players, how many Sunday players are on those rosters right now? Like that?
Ten.
Yeah. So I gotta say that when you get right down to it, that level of talent trumps all, right? And Miami's fine. Miami's okay. But you're going into a way more hostile environment. The Horseshoe, you ain't seen nothing yet, right? You know, you were there for Texas A&M. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. You're going into the Horseshoe. That's hostile, right? You have Ole Miss going into Georgia. That's hostile. Yes, it's an SEC matchup. Yes, it's something they're familiar with. Yes, you know, it's something that they're used to, but it's a hostile environment filled with a ton of NFL talent. I expect those two teams to roll. I expect Georgia and I expect Ohio State. Oregon is very talented. They could knock off Texas Tech. It's a 4-5, right? 4-5s happen all the time. We see it all the time. Now you have me interested. What did you text me last week?
I'm done with Bama.
You're done with
Bama. I don't want to hear about Alabama anymore.
Well, sorry. Bama's knocking off Indiana. I'm telling you right now.
Don't be surprised. Yeah.
Bama is knocking off Indiana. I can tell you that much right now.
Sure.
At the end of the day, talent trumps all. And with that level of talent, I get that Fernando Mendoza is probably going to be the number one pick in the draft. Or number two, at the very worst.
Or number five. Sounds like a Jet already.
He sounds like a Jet already. Absolutely, he does. But at the end of the day, when you have that much talent, it wins out. So, I'm looking at, I'll call Oregon, Alabama, and I'll call Georgia, Ohio State, and we're probably gonna have Alabama, Georgia, in the championship.
Yes,
which is probably what the playoff committee would want at the end of the day.
Yeah, sure.
I would say that's absolutely the case.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's incredibly hard for college kids to take a month off and then come back and hit the ground running. So yeah. I disagree with you. I think all the teams who had a bye will all be losing this week. They'll be losing, you know, when they play. I don't think it's possible to just get off of your couch and beat a college team that just played, you know, it just played a game. You know, I don't see it happen. And you're right. I do think they were headed towards if everything holds out, like what you say happens, I think we are looking at a Georgia-Alabama situation, which is what the committee wants. It's why Alabama's in this damn thing, because they want to see Alabama in the championship. I would find it more funny if Alabama lost, then DeBoer went to Michigan, then Lane Kiffin rescinded going to LSU and then went to Alabama. That'd be awesome.
Oh my God.
That would be so awesome.
Oh my God.
Because I believe DeBoer has ties to Michigan.
He does. I believe he's from Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because I think Alabama would totally get out of that if they could, and totally want Lane to come there.
That would...
And I feel like Lane would want to go to Alabama. I feel like he'd want to go there because he coached there. Like, yeah. He's been there. Like, that's the Mecca, right?
That is where you want to go.
For him.
That's where you want to go. 100%, that's where you want to go. Because LSU is nice, right? It's a fine program. But...
Oh, you're going to get talent. You'll get talent at LSU, but...
Yeah, but...
Alabama is, Nick Saban, you know...
The cachet is way bigger at Alabama. Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, the whole thing. You also have a team that is just better. Like, Alabama is just better than LSU. So, if given the opportunity to kind of pull out and weasel his way someplace else, as Lane Kiffin has done before. Let's not put it past him, because Lane Kiffin has done crap like this before. I think, you know, unless the ink is dry, unless the ink is dry on the contract, like, it's a possibility. It's absolutely a possibility. But, you know, I called it 2 months ago. If Alabama does not do well, right, Kalen DeBoer is probably going to be on the hot seat. Like, you figure he is. He's not Saban, right? He's not Bear Bryant. He's not winning, and he's not winning championships at the rate that is required of being the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I think they'll give him a leash. Though.
Maybe one more year. I think you might get one more year, but that's the problem with these dynasty programs. They think who the fuck they are, right? Think about it. Like, Brady Hoke, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, like, they had success, and then they were gone.
Charlie Weiss.
But you've had coaches have some modicum of success at programs, and then it just wasn't at the level. It just wasn't where it needed to be. And that was enough of an impetus for the school to turn around and say, it's just not working. And that's okay. Let's just move on. We'll just cut our losses. You go your way, I'll go my way. And I wish you the best of luck.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ. At morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
But speaking of you go your way and I go my way, and wishing you the best of luck, the Japanese slugger, Munetaka Murakami, was up against his posting deadline, which was yesterday. And he made a decision. He finally made that decision. So according to reports, both pairs of Sox were interested in obtaining the services of the Japanese slugger. Both the Red Sox and the White Sox were in. And Murakami chose the White Sox on a two-year, $34 million contract. So what do you expect from Murakami on the South Side?
Guy with an ugly girlfriend's got no confidence. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Come on. That's what this is, right? Two-year deal. $34 million. Huh? What? We're going to be locked out in year two, dude. You ain't playing in year two. No, it just tells me that he ain't the real deal. Just tells me he ain't ready for the show. He ain't ready for big time. You're telling me that if you, Z, were given the choice of playing for the South Side, playing for at Fenway Park, where are you going?
I would value winning. I would value winning. And if the Red Sox had shown any type of interest in me, that wouldn't even be an issue. Now, I understand he's left-handed, and a right-handed hitter would do better because of the Green Monster and all. Let me just assuage Mr. Murakami. Let me just mention a guy named David Ortiz. I would say a big slugger like you, David Ortiz, a big slugger, did pretty well in Boston. So I find it very quizzical that he chose the White Sox over the Red Sox and the lack of expectation over actual expectations.
Yeah, well, you're headed for 100 losses.
You're headed for 100 losses. And
fans aren't going to say shit to you because nobody's going to the games.
Fair. And he doesn't do well, right? He's not that great against non-fastballs.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
He's got trouble with the curve.
Yeah. The scouting report's out, man. Like, people know that you have issues. Yes, you've hit 265 career home runs, and that's wonderful. Bully for you.
Bully.
And the highest he's ever had in a season was 56 homers. That's pretty good. That's pretty prodigious. You're right up there with Aaron Judge. But, dude, if you're going to be whiffing 200 times a year, you...
All right, start throwing the two.
It's going to be a long 2 years.
What is that?
2 years.
Was it Major League, right? Major League 3, or was it Rube Baker? All right, throw him some curveballs.
Coño.
Oh, Serrano. It was Serrano.
I said, fuck you, Joe.
I knew it myself.
Jesus Christ. But, you know, I expect, like, 220 batting average. He'll hit his dingers, but a lot of them will be solo. Because who's getting on base?
Right.
Who the fuck is getting on base? Who hired this crew?
Oh, man. And Contreras now goes to the Red Sox. This is a nice move for them. He's a good player for his base. He's a good player.
See?
Stearns didn't want him.
He did. They did. They kicked the tires on him. But ultimately, you know, they got a major league ready arm. So I'm guessing they didn't want to give up Sprout or Tong.
How do you wind up trading McNeil to the A's and then giving the A's money? We'll pay the contract for McNeil. Just get him out of here. Give us the 17-year-old. What's his name? I don't even know his name.
he's in rookie ball. He's not even in high A. He's not even in A. He's in rookie ball. So that's where the Mets are right now.
Basically, he got traded for like a ham sandwich.
The human equivalent of a ham sandwich, yes.
And we don't even know this guy's kid's name.
Jordan Hernandez, I believe, something like that. Jordan Rodriguez.
Yeah, I forgot it already.
Exactly. He's 17.
I don't even know why I'm doing this. Just let's do it already.
It's pretty ridiculous. And it's just the latest round of bloodletting. If you're the Mets.
This is a real fucking restart.
They're just tearing the shit.
Are they gonna at least bring Stanek back? Stanek back.
Stop.
Bring him back. Bring somebody back.
Stop.
You're not gonna bring Stanek back?
No. I mean, they brought in Luke Weaver up there. Like, that's great. Like,
he's on pitching opening day.
Yeah. So think about this.
Get all three of those guys in the first game. Like Clay Holmes, start opening day.
Yep.
Weaver relieves him. Devin Williams blows in the net.
Yo, I said this, though. The Mets are collecting Met closers like they're the Infinity Stones. Like they're missing fucking
Yankee closers?
Yeah, they're collecting Yankee closers like it's the Infinity Stones. They just need Chapman to complete their set. They just have to go get a Aroldis Chapman and call it a day. And then... just like that. It's over. They can snap the organization from existence. But, I mean, Murakami, it is wild that he, like, that market just did not materialize for him.
He can't hit a curveball.
Yeah. I mean.
Or a slider.
or a change
or a splitter, anything or a change up.
Under 93. I don't know. It's going to be a long year. So a lot of strikeouts, a lot of homers, probably 220s. And for me, he'll make it through the first year. And if it continues at that rate, but if he has any sort of regression, they'll probably DFA him. He'll probably end up DFA'd. So, you know, it was a tough first base market because you also had Ryan O'Hearn. You were competing against Ryan O'Hearn, apparently. And the Pirates went and spent on him. So that's all
you need. They say they're contenders this year.
We're contenders now. Oh, my. Yeah.
When you have to say that you're a contender, you're not a contender.
No.
If you have to let people know you're a contender, you're not a contender.
I'm just telling you, watch it. Work on. When? Just let me know so I can prepare. Please do that for me. But this whole... This it's just fucked. This like the I don't see it. I don't understand. Chicago. I mean, not even the Cubs, dude. Like, you got Suzuki there, right? Like, okay, you have Brethren. You have somebody who can help you ease into and transition into Chicago and the market. The Cubs have expectations, and it's not like it broke the bank. 2 years, 34, $17 million a year. That was just a huge, huge misstep by his management, a huge misstep by him. And ultimately, yeah, I think that he's just gonna be here and gone, and we'll barely even know he was here. That's kind of a shame. But let's see where Okamoto lands, right? Because there was... it was Murakami and it was Okamoto. One domino has fallen, and let's see where the next one lands.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
At the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year. Let's do it then.
All right.
Festivus is back. We'll get the pull out of the crawl space.
All right, boys and girls, I hope you have the pole out of the crawl space. I hope you have your meatloaf and mashed potatoes. I hope you got the day off from H&H Bagels, because it is time, as part of the annual Festivus celebration here on the Fade Route with DNZ, it's time for us to air some grievances. We got a lot of problems in the sports world, and now you're going to hear about it. So, what are your grievances this year, D?
All right, first up, I've got a problem with you, Aaron Glenn.
Oh!
And the New York Jets organization. Tell me how you bring in a defensive guy into coach your football team, and through 15 games, this team has no interceptions. Zero. None. They're going to set a record that will never, ever be broken or tied. You're telling me you couldn't get a tip? Nobody could tip the ball at the line of scrimmage. No one could run under it. You couldn't fool one quarterback out of all the quarterbacks you've played against this year. He's guessed right every time that he's dropped back to pass.
Oh, my God.
He's never been shit. Fuck. Oops. You had Sauce Gardner for half the season. You didn't start tanking until week 10. At least we think so. And you can't get one interception. Not one. I'm going to the game Sunday. I want to see an interception. I'm putting it in now. Pick. They're going to get a pick this weekend. Next up, Chris Paul, CP3. Just go away. I'm just so tired of your smug ass. Everybody wants to talk about how you're a great leader, great locker room presence. Oh, he's such a pro. Motherfucker hasn't won shit. He's never won anything. You turned Lob City around just for it to go back into the ground. The Clippers are the worst team in the league. You can't play for the worst team in the league, Chris Paul. Please, Chris Paul, just go away. My last one will surprise you. I've got a problem with Chiefs fans. All this bickering and crying because the team is moving 30 minutes away out of Missouri into Kansas. Then you want to cry because the Chiefs are missing the playoffs and Patrick Mahomes is hurt and Travis Kelce's retiring. Nobody wants to hear this shit. Nobody cares. You had a great 10-year run where you made it to Super Bowls, lost Super Bowls, won Super Bowls, won MVPs, had Andy Reid. Shut up. Shut up. Your team's moving 30 minutes down the road in 6 years. You still have 6 years with this fucking team. And they're not changing their name. They're not changing their colors. They're just going to a new stadium. That's 30 minutes down the street. I'm tired of people from Missouri saying, well, I'm not going to those games. I'm not going into Kansas. It's the same fucking place. You're right next to each other. Shut up. What do you got, C?
Oh, my God. You remember the scene from Robin Hood, Men in Tights? When it was, I'm on one side, I'm on the other side, I'm on the East
Bank. I'm on the West Bank, I'm on the West Bank.
In fact, they're critical. But, come on.
It's the principle.
It is. Fair enough. It's the principle thing. We're not going to drive to Kansas City, Kansas because reasons.
It's not like you're losing your, I don't know what they've decided to do with the season tickets, but whatever, man, like. It's down the road. It's not like the Rams moving from St. Louis to fucking Los Angeles. Those people have a gripe. Right. Those people should be upset. They had to deal with Sam Bradford all those years.
Remember, the Raiders moved from Oakland to L.A. and back to Oakland, and nobody gave a shit. So there's that. You're making something out of nothing. You're still able to support your team. And your team...
Browns lost the team entirely. Left in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And you know what? In 1999, they still came. The fans came back. So there's something to be said about that. Oh, my first grievance. MLS. You want to be taken seriously as a global league. And by all accounts, you are in the top 10 of leagues around the world. And then you pretty much let Inter Miami bend every roster rule to put together this team of international superstars, getting rid of all of their designated homegrown players, which you are required to have on your roster according to your bylaws. You're supposed to have homegrown players. At least 5, I believe, are supposed to be from a homegrown situation. Oh, that homegrown Rodrigo de Paul. That homegrown Luis Suarez. That homegrown Jordi Alba. That homegrown Lionel Messi. Oh, I remember those days when they were cutting their teeth in the Miami Academy. Bullshit! You fixed it, you rigged it, and this is why MLS is looked as a retirement league, and this is why MLS is looked at as a joke. You fixed it, you rigged it. Do better for the other teams. Number 2. Major League Baseball. We get closer and closer and closer and closer to a lockout every year. It's getting to the point where games aren't competitive thanks to the gambling allegations. Thank you, Mr. Classe. Right? Now you have to call every pitch into account because you don't know whether or not it's on the up and up. Did he just spike a curveball because he told his friends he would so they could cash in on a prop bet? We're going to look at it, says Rob Manfred. We're going to look at it. Okay, that's wonderful. As you continue to tout DraftKings, as you continue to tout FanDuel, we're going to look at it. Give me the money. I'm going to look at that money go right into my pocket. It's absolutely absurd. Not only that, right? We had the lifetime bans lifted. So now Pete Rose is eligible for the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe Jackson is available. When is a lifetime ban not a lifetime ban? When it's in Major League Baseball. Congratulations, guys. We do not know what the term lifetime means. Like, forever means forever, not as you have construed it. And the rich continue to get richer as the Dodgers continue to build, filling their roster with superstar after superstar. But now it's a two-horse race. We now have an arms race between the two teams that were in the World Series last year, because now the Blue Jays are going hard, right? Great. Fantastic. Wonderful. My next grievance, I got a big bone to pick with the New York Mets.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. Did you need to go full communion scene from The Godfather now? Like, did you need to trade Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien? You know, effectively a bag of balls. Did you need to trade Jeff McNeil for... And money. You sent money. Did you need to do that? Did you need to send him for a 17-year-old who isn't at a rookie ball yet? No. Like, this team, 2 years ago... Two seasons ago, was in the National League Championship Series. They weren't able to do much against the Dodgers, but they were there. Knocked off the Braves, knocked off the Phillies. They were in. And the future looked bright. Just two seasons ago. And now they're looking for their mouthpiece. Trying to figure out what their identity is.
They've been left into darkness.
I was born in the dark.
I see that until I was a man.
I was molded by it. Now, their answer, their solution to all of this is we're going to bring in all the ex-Yankee closers. Luke Weaver, 2-for-22, deal. Devin Williams, 3-for-51, deal. Clay Holmes, you're starting opening day. What the actual fuck, people?
Earl this Chapman. Nah, we'll get you. Don't worry. You're on our radar. We'll get you, son.
David Robertson was already there. At one point, David Robertson was there. So, the bottoming out of this organization continues. And I get that David Stearns wants to impact his team with his image and likeness. With this defense first. Okay, fine. Run prevention, defense first. Okay, sure, fine, whatever. You still got to score runs, Chief. I get you want to prevent them. I get you want to do all that. You need to score runs. And this lineup is not going to be able to score runs. I will walk Lindor. I will walk Soto every single fucking opportunity if I'm the other team. Who's going to beat me? Marcus Semien?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Who's going to beat me? Francisco Alvarez?
Ooh.
No, I'm shaking.
I'm shaking in my tiny spades boots.
I'm shaking. Right. Brett Beatty, I'm shaking. Mark Vientos, if he's still here, I'm shaking. And you brought in Jorge Polanco.
Yeah, I can play first base. Sure.
Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? There's a guy.
Well, I've only ever played third.
He's played short, he's played second, he's played third. Yeah. He said he'd be willing to try first.
Yeah, they said they wanted me to try first base, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll do that for whatever amount of money you're going to pay me. Sure.
If it means I'm going to get a contract,
I'll give it a try. Yeah.
How hard
could it be?
It's incredibly hard. I said, smile. I wave my little hat. When do I get paid? Like, that's where we are with the New York fucking Mets right now. It's not even the New York fucking Mets. Like, there you go.
Page a little more. Could you be a little less disgusting?
I can certainly use the money. I can certainly use the money. So, Jesus Christ. Jesus. Like, for all the Met fans who are like, it's early. It's early. Yeah, there are plenty of moves to be made. Yeah.
We're going to shake things up.
When you get the answer you want, hang up. That's all I need to know from Mr. Stearns. And I'm expecting a long year in Queens. An absolute long year in Queens. And then last but not least...
Fans behaving badly.
I'm calling the fans to task once again. Death threats over bad performances during a game. Death threats because you didn't make your parlay. Death threats because you couldn't cash in. And the most recent one, getting popped in the face by DK Metcalf on the sideline. What the fuck did you say to him, Mr. Blue Hair?
Apparently he just called him by his legal government name.
What?
And that set him off. That's what I heard. That's what I read, and that's what I heard. At first, DK says he called him the N-word.
And then
he called him another absurd thing. But there's a guy with a video on Instagram that was sitting two rows behind it. It sounds like he just calls him by his fucking legal name. And he lost it. He walked over, called him down, and snuffed him.
It's like, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here.
Gotcha. My man's low. Wait a minute. So,
gotcha,
first of all, he's losing two game checks, which are over $550,000.
What a schmuck.
Right? Then, because he's missing these two games, he's missing out on $40 million in guaranteed money.
Oh.
All because you walked over to snuff a fan in the face? What's the matter with you? They're all the way back there for a reason. Don't walk over there, stupid. Put your helmet on and watch the game.
There's a moat for a reason. There's a huge moat. There's
what
a huge warning.
Doing?
Come on.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers like need these two games. He's appealing it, so I think he's going to get to play. But that means he might miss a playoff game unless they let him take the suspension next year, which I don't know. I don't know, man. This is a poor decision.
It makes you wonder what we were thinking about here if we were DK Metcalf. And you know what? And we need to be thinking about what the fuck the fan was thinking. Like, nah, he's not going to come over here.
Maybe he wants to sign something for me.
Oh man.
He didn't go down.
No, he's out like Jake Paul.
He got that guy.
You know, while we're at it, let's throw him in here. Jake fucking Paul. Like, I got a big problem with you. Like, you have totally made a mockery of boxing, right? Mike Tyson. Oh, Tyson's going to wipe the floor with him. Da, 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 da. Mike Tyson barely touched him. But there was one good round. Let's give him a show. And then it went full wrestling. Anthony Joshua wasn't playing that shit.
Nope. There's a clip online where Jake Paul hits Joshua hard. And then Joshua returns it even harder. It's like, okay, I poked the bear.
Exactly.
I poked the bear. And then the bear broke his jaw.
100%.
And lost, I think he lost like 3 or 4 teeth.
Yeah, you made a mockery of boxing, and boxing has made a mockery out of you. That's where we end up with Jake Paul. But hey, everybody got paid, right?
I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah.
I'm just glad somebody did it and it's over. This is what I wanted to see, you know, running his mouth. Anthony Joshua's a grown man. It's a grown man. Nope.
No.
Don't mess with him, man.
No, do not mess with that man.
And then I saw, like, his brother's Logan Paul, right?
Yeah, Logan Paul.
His brother was, like, ringside, like, it was a wrestling match, and he's talking shit to Joshua, like, every round. He's like, you stupid.
You Shut lost up. Every round.
Shut up. Yeah. Did I lose that one? How am I looking in the score now, asshole?
I'm the one without the broken jaw. I win. Oh my God.
Man, you'd be drinking out of a straw for the next fucking 2 weeks.
Hope it was worth it. Yeah.
No, he got paid. He definitely got paid. I saw him on the plane with all his money.
Yeah, and ESPN finally caught on. There are levels to this. There are levels to the grift. And apparently Anthony Joshua was not in on this level.
Homie, don't play that.
No, he did not. Those are our grievances. What are yours? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a line on X at faderoutedNZ and let us know what you got a problem with this year. But for now, it is time for the feats of strength. It's not over till you pin your father.
Pin your father.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy, D?
I don't.
The Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals for that dog shit performance, particularly by one Mr. Joe Burrow, who lollipopped it to Kyle Van Noy for a touchdown. Basically, here, take this. I don't want it.
Go, go.
Go, go,
man. Drop all those points against the Dolphins, then the Ravens can't beat Patriots.
What? It's a joke.
What?
Complete, utter joke. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
Let's see what I have here. Ah, here we go. First up, DK Metcalf. The wide receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers who decided to snuff a fan in the stands and got suspended 2 games for it because the fan called you by your legal name. Just stay away from the stands. You're in a playoff chase. You're a professional. You're a grown man. You lost out on $1 million in game checks and over $40 million guaranteed to go snuff a nobody. TK Metcalf, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Zach Wilson, the quarterback. Yes. On the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins decided to start 7th-round rookie Quinn Ewers instead of you on Sunday against the Bengals. Arm talent alone can't fix timing, accuracy, or trust in the NFL's offensive demands. My friend, you are a joke and will never start in the National Football League again. Zach Wilson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, the Indianapolis Colts. Who got blown out against the 49ers are now 1-7 in their last 8 games. At one point, we were talking about Daniel Jones being the MVP. We were talking about Jonathan Taylor winning the MVP. We were talking about the Colts going to the Super Bowl, going to the championship. You guys are done. And Jonathan Taylor's played like dog shit the last 10 games. You guys are not making the playoffs, and that whole thing needs a reboot. Indianapolis Colts, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Zeke?
You can't go wrong with that. When you have to turn to 44-year-old Philip Rivers over the guy you got in-house. Yeah.
Off the street.
Yeah. And you know, let's be fair here. Philip Rivers, for a 44-year-old dude who's just coming off the street, not that bad.
He put up, I think, over 24 points, right? He put
not
up,
that bad.
They put up some good points. And he couldn't even move. He couldn't move. But one play he tried to roll out, he couldn't get out there.
No.
He just threw it all away.
We don't do that here. Phil, buddy.
Let it rip.
No, just don't do
he
that.
Threw a nice, he threw one nice touchdown pass.
Yeah. And a couple of ducks. a few ducks. But it's an embarrassment to the quarterbacks in this league that this dude can roll up off the street and have a representative performance. We'll start with my man Jackson Dart. Well, let's do that. Well, let's start with him. 16-13, Vikings beat the Giants, but that's not the story. 7-13 for 33 yards and a pick. In the game. No, in the game. Not in the quarter. Not in the half. In the game. And no, like, he played the whole game. Like, he didn't... wasn't injured. Like, he played the whole game. Abysmal. Pathetic. Terrible. What more can you say? Yeah. Future's bright? Jackson Dart, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh my God. Do you want to win the NFC South? It's my question to you. On paper, you are a better team. You're way better than the Carolina Panthers, right? You should be running away with this fucking thing. Instead, you lose 23-20 to the Panthers. And now they have a game lead on you. What are we doing here? You know, we talked about the possibility of a reset needing to happen in Indy. A reset seemingly needs to happen in Tampa Bay because they're healthy. Evans is there. Godwin is there. Bucky Irving is there. Their defense is healthy. Baker's playing. There's no reason for this. There is no reason. None. Absolutely none. Carolina Panthers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I gotta go with the Eagles. Yeah, you won 29-18. It wasn't really much of a game, but your decision to go for two after scoring your last touchdown, so that made it 27-18. You went for two. Quizzical decision, really. Because that puts you up 11. Okay. That's, you know, the game's already in hand. 9 versus 11 doesn't matter. That prompts a fist fight. Three guys get kicked out of the game. What are you doing? What are we doing here? What are we doing? You already have the game firmly in hand. Washington is donezo, right? Mariota's starting for them. It's over, Johnny. It's over. Your team is miles better than them. There's no need to do it. Other than you're running it up and you're rubbing their faces in it, or you were looking at the money line. So which one was it? Philadelphia Eagles, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.